There is a set of people who are making a lot of false promises when it comes to mentorship programs. And I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to shade anyone. I've heard stories from my friends who would pay someone a certain amount of money. And we're not talking like $200. We're talking someone paying $6,000 to have a day with this person. And then this person just treating them very awful. I think that's really wrong. We call them the false prophets of photography. I think mentorship is a great thing. I'm a Christian, and one of the things we very much believe is in order to lead, you must follow. At one point in my life, I did have to follow, I had to be trained. But I think you have to be very clear about the mentorship you're getting. Emphasis on the word clarity. What are the promises made to you? And when I say, do you have the money? I don't mean, do you have cash sitting in your account to pay for that? Because if you're using all your money to pay for that mentorship, especially when it comes to like, if someone said, oh, pay me $40,000 and I will teach you how to make $1 billion, that $40,000 could go to a down payment in a house. And why ignore all the resources that you have? Like, even your podcast, like, there's so many available resources. That it's like if you're paying money, especially when it comes to high ticketed items to quote unquote go to the next level, you better have exhausted all the resources that are A, free, then low ticketed. You better have exhausted all of these resources to then pay more than $10,000 for a mentorship program. I think clarity is really important because if you're not clear, there are many, and I have friends, I've been in similar experiences where we idolize people so much that like, we pay them to take us to, to go to, let's say, Kentucky to do a shoot. Like, I'm very, I find it very confusing. Like, why would I say, pay me $20,000 and then you're going to spend a day with me in Kentucky shooting at this castle? Why can't you just take that $20,000, reach out to a younger creative that you want to work with who's very innovative? And that's the thing. We have idolized so many people in the industry. That we sort of look at them like gods. They're not gods. They're beautiful creatives who have created incredible things, and we honor and love them for the great things they've created. But, friend, I'm here to tell you there's so many younger creatives out there who are hungry, who are willing to do 1,000 times more. And again, we honor the people who have led the way, we honor the people who are doing phenomenal things. But if you are a younger photographer trying to connect with other, like planners, don't look for the big fish because the sharks out there, they already have their people. Look for younger sharks, people who are inspired, who are passionate, and who are just hecka talented. Let's say you can't get a dress from one of the big shots of the day. There are younger designers. And someone say, well, this is so much work to do. Well, unfortunately, business is a lot of work. Easy come, easy go. It's difficult work. You have to do your research. Find a younger designer, find a younger dress designer. If let's say the main venues in Italy don't let you shoot there, there's so many different venues. But I'm just saying, like, think outside the box because these people who present themselves as gods and know-it-alls are not know-it-alls.
You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whitaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whitaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whitaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Thanks again to myself for sponsoring my podcast episode. Hey photographer, Jessica Whitaker here. Welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by my good friend, Afrique Armando. Afrique is a wedding photographer whose work has been featured in Vogue, Forbes, Martha Stewart Weddings, The New York Times, and Elle Magazine. We will be talking about how to make wise decisions when it comes to joining high-ticket coaching programs, masterminds, destination-styled workshops, and even online courses. With so many targeted ads at us, from join this mastermind to make $10,000 a month, to enroll in my year-long coaching program and make $100,000, it's easy to fall into temptation and click add to cart when we simply aren't ready or can't afford it. There's so many things that we should do before enrolling in something for a big chunk of money, and we're going to talk about how to navigate making smart financial decisions in your business and what's worth spending your money on. Afrique's information will be linked in the description of this episode. Let's jump right in. Afrique, I am so excited to have you on the Build and Bloom podcast. Why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Thank you so much for having me on. I love you so much. I love everything you do. I love your colorful personality. You're amazing. You're such a ray of sunshine, rays of sunshine, actually, and you bring so much light to this world. And I just really wanted to honor you. You're big inspiration in my life. So it's an honor to be here. So my name is Afrique Armando. I'm a photographer in the Philadelphia, New York area. I mostly do weddings. And I have been doing weddings for about 7 years now. I absolutely love it. I like to think of myself as a storyteller. For context, I know there's so many different things to talk about. But for context, just so we know, you know, like some of the things I'm going to be saying, and just to add a little bit of credit, I work with different publications. I've been featured on multiple publications, and I know a few editors in these different magazines. I earn, you know, high six figures, and I'm so grateful because it's not just me. I have a whole team, a whole family, and everyone works so hard to like serve these beautiful couples. So that's a little bit about me. So much to go into depth, but you know, that's just a little tea.
Afrique, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. So what are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about a lot of beautiful things. Oftentimes I get the questions, you know, I've had a few people reach out to me via DMs and they're like, hey, how do I get to, let's say, charging a high ticket item with my photography? And I really, really just wanted to go into depth of, there's a very big difference between you as an artist really digging deep to serve people and creating art that outlives you versus you just trying to quickly up level and then paying for very high ticketed mentorship. Because at the end of the day, you know, good things take time. You know, trees don't grow overnight. Trees need some time to, like, you know, the watering, the right environment. And then they really take a long time to get as giant as they are sometimes. So there's a very fine balance between the two. And I think that's something really good to tackle today.
When people are messaging you, they might be booking like $3,000 weddings and they've been doing that for a while, or $4,000, which is still a great number. But we do see a lot of people who are able to charge $10,000 plus, but also they have a team. There's a lot more that goes into it. There's more than just the primary and the second shooter. So how do you get to that place of starting to charge $10,000 and then hitting $20,000 and $30,000 for weddings? I mean, we're advertised it all the time as photographers. We get targeted ads about join this program if you're looking to book five-figure weddings. But is that just a fast track? What would be the beginning of that conversation of somebody, my goal is to book a $10,000 wedding. What does that look like?
So that's a really great question. Side note, whenever you get those ads, I used to get those ads all the time. It's like, oh, you know, like, I'm going to, yeah, here's my video. Like, I book $10,000 weddings, $20,000 weddings, you know, subscribe to my course, and I'm going to show you how to do the same. I get it. I'm not that kind of a person. And I always think about my client, you know, like the people that I serve. It's like, if they see me saying like, oh, this is how you charge $10,000. And this is how, like, this is the formula, like, this is what you use. It's like that kind of rubs people off the wrong way. So it's just, I'm just usually not the biggest advocate of that. I always say this, if I were to ever teach a course, I would think it would be more about like how to really hone in your craft and be an artist and a master of form and light. But to answer your question, I never forget this story, right? When I was a broke college student, I was talking to one of my professors, and she was just critiquing some of my work and going through everything. And she made a statement to me because I was like, oh, what can I do really quickly out of school to be making a bunch of money? And she made this, I never forget what she said. Her name is Rebecca. I love her. She was such a great professor. She said, Afrique, let me tell you something. A skilled artist will go far, but a conceptual artist will go way further than a skilled artist. She was like, you can make a lot of money if you literally just took your camera and just went out and started taking photos. She's like, you can make money. But she was like, if your work has a deeper concept to it, you will outmake any skillful artist at any point because skills change. They're always different. There's going to be new technology, like AI, as we see, there's development of all these things, and the skills are going to keep changing. But what doesn't change is the ability to think about a concept, the ability to be a storyteller and ask yourself, what is the story I'm trying to tell? What am I trying to do? Even with me, of course, I charge my clients a lot of money. It's not because I think, oh, I'm just going to make, $1 million from these people and I'm just going to charge them up the wazoo. No, there are intentional reasons about why I do that. Obviously we've got a big team. We like, our weddings, like when I'm shooting weddings at anywhere from, in New York or destination weddings, I'm telling you, there are days when I'm shooting for 15 hours nonstop from the morning to late at night. So you have to think about the hours, the work, and there's more that goes to it. With these people, I'm there to serve them. I'm not there to, get their money. Like, of course, is the money important? Yes, it is. But it's not about like, oh, I'm going to charge you $25,000. It's about what are we going to create together? How am I going to show up for you? How am I going to make you feel comfortable in your own skin? And I think it's really, really important because simple example, like if you shoot, let's say, binary couples, so a bride and a groom, if you shoot that, how will you advocate yourself as a great photographer if you do not know how to fully pose the woman form or the female form? And that's a really big conversation to have that I think is really glossed over. It's like you cannot call yourself, and again, these are personal opinions. I should say, full disclaimer, these are personal opinions. So take everything with a grain of salt, but it's like you need to be able to, like what angles look best, what flatters the form best. And if you know these things, they just make you so much more higher on like so many different levels than if you were just like, okay, I'm gonna take pictures of like your Zahav dress, or I'm gonna like Elie Saab, like it's gonna look great. Like you're gonna just put it on and you're gonna stand straight and boxy. Again, I know I'm all over the place, but like paying attention to form, like what does it mean? Like how do you pose a woman? Like how do you make her body very flattering to the camera? There's all these things to do which you're really great at teaching them.
So the first thing would be mastering the posing, the storytelling, and then with that comes the actual client experience as well, the experience that you provide. When you charge five figures for a wedding, you have to like equate a true value with it. There's a lot of teaching out there about how you should increase your pricing just essentially because you can. That's what I have had advice from mentors, if you will. And it's not advice that I take, but it's even in the sense of in my own business with my own like one-on-one consulting calls that I'll do. I call them mentorships, but it's usually like a one-off, maybe two call where it's for a couple hours and we're talking about something very specific in the business that they need help with. But I've gotten the advice, charge, $2,000 for that. But there's no real like reasoning behind why is my advice worth 2 grand? Oh, because it will make them that money. It'll make them 2 grand. But again, it's you have to have a like some kind of value that's like equating to that price. And so when you are charging five figures for weddings, it can't just be because you can charge and take somebody's money because they're willing to pay that. You have to be able to bring that value, because that's what's going to be able to sustain your business long term. Because you might be able to do that for a couple of, you know, a year or so, but it is not going to be able to be a sustainable like business model. So
absolutely.
So to you, does that look like them taking an online course, or does it look like them attending in a styled photo shoot in person?
Here's what I think, right? In terms of trajectory, I'm a very, you know, I'm an old gizzard. So I love a very like traditional approach to, there's a very big thing. Have you read this book, like 10,000 Hours or, you know, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell? I think it's a really interesting book to read. And it really talks about, you know, spending 10,000 hours in something and then really mastering that craft. And I personally had a formal arts education. And the reason why I bring that up is there are different things that you do that really give you advantages. And for me, one of the things that I did was those art courses really, really helped me understand the basics of visual communication, which sometimes, you know, for those who don't know what like the wedding world is, you know, saturated with, is a lot of times it's saturated with people who say they're, oh, I'm a luxury photographer, I'm a luxury wedding photographer, and I go to destinations and I travel all around the world, pay me, and I'm going to go to Lake Como and all these places. And then when you look at their work, it's very like, okay, like my grandma could have taken a camera and, you know, my grandma could take a camera and take a photo like that would look like this. You know what I mean?
Like it's not posed in a way that's flattering.
Exactly. And nothing wrong with that. But from someone who came from an arts background, when you look at something, A, what are you trying to say? And I do think that if I were to go back in time, if I were to, let's say, if there was a younger photographer trying to do what I do right now, I would say, A, start with understanding visual design, visual communication. How do you communicate visually? What are the things that are appealing to the eye? Do you know the law of rhythm? The, you know, the golden, I don't remember, I'm blanking on it right now, but you know, like, what are these fundamental art principles? You know, because again, just because you're a wedding photographer, and I'm just saying, like, if you want to be this wedding photographer that's like everyone else and you're fighting to compete with everyone else, that's a beautiful thing. But when I started my business, girl, I was poor. I didn't have anybody to help me. I didn't have any connections. So I knew in order to thrive in this industry, I had to be the best of the best of the best. And so what I did was I searched from within, starting with all, what are the things that make you a great visual communicator? What made, you know, Henri Cartier-Bresson? What made these for the Adam Ansel, or I'm blanking his name, but like all these great photographers, like what made them great? And I think that like, if you're a wedding photographer or a photographer pushing yourself as, okay, because wedding photography at the heart of it is photojournalism. How do you say you're a great photojournalist if you've never learned about all the great photojournalists that lived, or if you've never learned about the street photographers, like, you know, like there has to be context, not just like, oh, I follow XYZ on Instagram who slaps a filter on like Lake Como every time she goes there or every time he goes there and calls himself a luxury person and shoots, you know, shoots brands and posts that everywhere. Like, no. So I think if I were to advise my younger self, I would say start with understanding the basics of visual communication. Even if you're at that $5,000 range, I am telling you, Jessica, it will change things for you because it will add a certain finesse to your work. And that's the thing, right? That's the thing. That's the difference between $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. We can confidently sit here and say, hey, this costs $15,000, not because, oh, I believe like it's worth my worth. And that's the thing with, you know, like we have this thing about narcissism in today's society where everyone is very entitled. I love that for everyone. I think it's a good thing. You do you, but I'm not a very entitled person. The reason why I say, hey, pay me $15,000 is because I know that I've done the work. I've researched, I've studied the arts, and I, for your weekend, can create something that no one else can create because I've developed my eye to see. I've trained my brain to understand visual communication, and I've honed in so deep into my arts that now I'm able to express it. Like, I look at paintings, I go to museums, when I travel to different countries, I spend time in the art museums looking at the fine details. Like the other day, I was in a museum in Israel and I was taking pictures of the hands of the paintings because, like, it's so crazy. Like, from those days, you would see how the hands weren't flat, they weren't potatoes, they weren't bananas, they were ballet. And you could see it from back in the day. And I literally went around the art museum taking photos of all of these portraits to show my team. That's how you build a very rich reservoir of visual communication. Because if you just wanted to jump into, like, oh, I just need to meet this planner, that planner, this planner, great. But then what builds you long term? And I like to think what you're doing with your career and what you're doing with your people is you're building something that's gonna last, something that has the right foundation. And I think that's really important because a lot of wedding photographers don't have a solid foundation. They have smoke and mirrors, but smoke and mirrors can only take you so far. But when you are a master of light and form, that changes everything.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by ContractEista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. ContractEista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, ContractEista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts. And protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photographycontracts.
The next thing is when you feel you've mastered light and form, you will need more people. They say if you want to run fast, go alone. If you want to run far, go together. You guys have a great community. You need a community, even personally with yourself. I do have a studio manager. And again, you need to know when you're ready for these things. I have a studio manager, 3 photographers who I'm constantly working with. And sometimes they do their own weddings. When you look at my business and you see me online, I'm just a little bubblehead. These are the people who wake up every day, or maybe not every day, during the weekends. These are the people who wake up at 5 a.m. to, you know, get those like sunrise shots. These are the people who spend 15 hours on their feet, who sometimes have to leave New York so late in the day or so late in the night to get back to Philly. Or like, these are the people who make things work, and it's all about them. It's not all about me, you know? And like, when we build something and we're getting more money, you know, like, it's being funneled to them. And and I like to say, like, I know this is like part of like toxic corporate culture, like, we're a family, but like, generally we are a family. And they know, yes, I might be the person in the limelight, but together we've built something that's so beautiful, and we create for our couples and we tell stories, and they're all trained in what does it mean to be a storyteller and a visual communicator. So anyway, sorry. So first thing, light and form, master your arts. Second thing, you need a team and sustainable structures. Because if you're trying to go to $10,000 or $15,000, you cannot be sitting on a wedding gallery for 6 months. I'm just going to say this, like, that's maybe this is a personal opinion, but we don't do that in our company. I know that after a certain period, there's a certain level of excitement and these people want to see their images. There's many systems you can put in place that it can allow you to deliver. Because that's the thing, if you get the $25,000 client and you don't deliver, guess what? They have friends. Their friends have friends. They will share that, ooh, they worked with you, your systems are horrible, they can never get a hold of you via email. You know, like, these are very big key principles. Customer service, your customer service needs to be premium. Because again, you cannot boast that you're charging a premium price when it's like, your customer service is horrible. Like for us, we have a studio manager. I tell all of my clients or all my couples, hey, during June, July, October, September, it's going to be very difficult to reach me. But this is my person. This is my studio manager. Anything that you need, reach out to them. They know the business in and out. They will let you know, like, if you want to schedule something, we have systems for that. So light and form your team, systems that work, very important. And then you can start, quote unquote, people, at a certain point you have cash to burn. So you can go to these parties, pay for these memberships that are like $20,000. You're doing that. And I got this from, I will say, I don't know if you know the Cartiers. I don't know. I might be butchering their name for any French listeners, but the Cartiers, the bracelet and the jewelry company. They have a family history, right? And they have a family book, which I would highly recommend the book. One of the things they talked about is whenever their associates would go to a new city, the first thing these associates would do is find memberships in the premium clubs, because that's usually where certain kind of people hang out. It's funny because I was actually watching a TikTok and this girl was talking about how she took her, $10,000 business and made it to like $1 million business. And she said she would just basically go, she would go to like all these bougie restaurants and like get dinners and make friends with all these people and, be friends with them and then say, hey, can I do your brows? And, I'm blanking on her name, I wish I could give her credit, but like, that's a genius start strategy. Like going to these places where your ideal clientele would tend to hang out. But you see, again, you do not put the cart in front of the horse. Like you cannot be doing that if you're not exceptional. And I'm not talking, and that's one of the things I talk with my team. I'm like, there's a very big difference between being good and being great and excellent. And I was like, excellence is a very core value to us. And we grill ourselves. I mean, you should come into like when we're critiquing our work, it's like how it says like, okay, why did you cut their hand? Like, why did you cut their, like these are basic things. You can't be charging $25,000 and then intentionally all the family portraits are cut off at the, the knees or the limbs. Like these are things, but you see, that's the thing. There are people who just think you can go to, or there's these coaching programs that are like, we're just going to teach you how to do this. We're going to teach you how to sell. And you're going to sell like hotcakes. People are going to buy like hot potatoes and they're going to love you and you're going to be a millionaire. Like, that is not true.
All of that is so good because there's so many of these high ticket, long-term mentoring programs, coaching programs, masterminds, where it's easy to become tempted to join because when you're not ready, because there's a lot of false promises that you can actually cut all of that learning curve and go from A all the way to Y. And then they'll teach you X and Z until you have the systems in place in your business. And until you have the posing down, you might not be able to get your full money's worth from these kind of programs, but yet they're marketed to us. So it's something to be very conscious of. And maybe instead, if you're ready to have some kind of education, invest in an online course. Maybe the online course is still an investment, like $1,000, $500, $600, whatever. But it's going to be focused on one area of business and not this ambiguous idea of start booking five-figure weddings, because there could be value in these programs. But until you have these other elements in place and with your education and your posing and the systems, just like you said, and the client communication, you might not be able to get your full money's worth out of the programs. So should we just go right into what exactly is a mentorship program when we're talking about these high ticket, long-term mentorships?
So when it comes to membership, let's burn some bridges. Let's call some people out. Just kidding. We're not going to do anything. So I'm a very compassionate person, and I care about people, to a certain degree. Obviously, we're all selfish, but I definitely think that I'm very compassionate when it comes to people. And I think, unfortunately, there is a set of people who are making a lot of false promises when it comes to mentorships and, mentorship programs. And I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to shade anyone. I've heard stories from my friends who would pay someone a certain amount of money. And we're not talking like $200. We're talking someone paying $6,000 to have a day with this person. And then this person just treating them very awful or just treating them a certain way. I am not for that. I think that's really wrong. And we call them the false prophets of photography. You know, beware of them. I think mentorship is a great thing. You know, I'm a Christian, and one of the things we very much believe is in order to lead, you must follow. At one point in my life, I did have to follow. I had to be trained. But I think you have to be very clear about the mentorship you're getting. I'm very, again, emphasis on the word clarity. Clarity is really important, right? When you're taking a mentorship program, especially when you're starting to pay more than $5,000, what are the promises made to you? The first thing, are you ready for that? Do you have that? Because do you have, and when I say, do you have the money? I don't mean, do you have cash sitting in your account to pay for that? Because if you're using all your money to pay for that mentorship, especially when it comes to like, if someone said, oh, pay me $40,000 and I will teach you how to make $1 billion. Like that $40,000 could go to a down payment in a house. And why ignore all the resources that you have? Like even your podcast, like there's so many available resources that it's like, if you're paying money, you know, especially when it comes to high ticketed items to quote unquote, go to the next level, you better have exhausted all the resources that are free, then low ticketed, then, you know, medium range. Like you better have exhausted all of these resources to then pay more than $10,000 for a mentorship program. So I think clarity is really important because if you're not clear, there are many, and I have friends, I've been in similar experiences where we idolize people so much that like we pay them to take us to, you know, to go to, let's say, Kentucky to do a shoot. Like I find it very confusing. Like, why would I say pay me $20,000 and then you're going to spend a day with me in Kentucky shooting at this castle? Why can't you just take that $20,000, reach out to a younger creative that you want to work with who's very innovative? And that's the thing. We have idolized so many people in the industry that we sort of look at them like gods. They're not gods. They're beautiful creatives who have created incredible things, and we honor and love them for the great things they've created. But friend, I'm here to tell you, there's so many younger creatives out there who are hungry, who are willing to do 1,000 times more. And again, we honor the people who have led the way. We honor the people who are doing phenomenal things. But if you are a younger photographer trying to connect with other, you know, like planners, don't look for the big fish, because the sharks out there, they already have their people. Look for younger sharks, people who are inspired, who are passionate, and who are just hecka talented. And there's so many of them. Because why? Don't build something that will die. If you connected with someone who's 2 years from retirement, you have 2 years to do great weddings. Versus if you created with a young, talented planner or a young, talented designer who might not have 50 years of experience, but is very, very talented, their career is probably going to last 20 years. So when you do things, don't just think like, oh, I just want the thing that's going to be good now. No, again, to the whole point of this conversation, think long term. Find a younger designer who's very hungry. Like if, for instance, if you're paying $50,000 to spend a day with someone in Lake Como, find a younger, talented planner. Find a designer who's hungry. If let's say you can't get a dress from one of the big shots of the day, there are younger designers. And someone say, well, this is so much work to do. Well, unfortunately, business is a lot of work. Easy come, easy go. It's difficult work. You have to do your research. Find a younger designer, find a younger dress designer. If let's say the main venues in Italy don't let you shoot there, there's so many different venues. But I'm just saying, like, think outside the box, because these people who present themselves as gods and know-it-alls are not know-it-alls. A lot of times, nobody knows anything, everyone's just trying to, and again, we're not here sitting down trying to bash anyone for their mentorship program or their high ticket mentorship program. Like, power to anybody who thinks that they're worth billions of dollars when it comes to memberships. And I do think, again, there is a time and a place for that. But I'm saying, as a younger creative, do not underestimate your power. Your power to be creative. If you're a wedding photographer, don't, I'm trying to be careful not to tell people not to, what to do and what not to do. But if I were a younger photographer, I would not spend my heart and money on creating more wedding content. Like, yes, I get it. Like, do it for the portfolio when you need to. But at the end of the day, push yourself. Because why? When you push yourself, it is the unique work that you do that will stand you out from the crowd. Like, I mean, Jessica, even think about this. If all of us are inspired by the same photographer, if all of us are using the same camera equipment, if all of us are using the same techniques, what's the difference then? And that's unfortunately how it is in the wedding world, is a lot of times you can't tell whose is whose because everyone looks the same. Why? Because we're getting inspiration from the same places, other wedding photographers. Stop looking at other wedding photographers. Look at TV shows, Blade 2024. Like, there's so many movies. Like, Apple is doing some incredibly insane creative things when it comes to compositions, lightings, colors. Look at these things for inspiration, because that's where you get something that's beyond the surface. Tim Ferriss always makes his joke. He says, whenever you're doing anything when it comes to business, look at what everyone else is doing and do the opposite. And girl, that is what I did. That brought me from where I was to where I am right now. And same thing. Now, when I got into a certain bracket, I was almost tempted to do the same thing, go to the same conferences, you know, like start being the same like all the other people in my bracket. But then I was reminded that, a freak, what is everyone doing? Don't follow the crowd. Don't be a jellyfish. And again, there is a time and a place to do that. There's a time and a place to follow the, you know, of course, I'm not saying like, don't shoot with a camera. Like, there are basic things that you need to follow, but in your essence, be different. And that's what I think made great artists of the day. Goya, all these great artists. Like, and that's another thing. Like, if you're wedding, I'm telling you, if you took time to learn about art history, you will be surprised at how different your art will be. You'll be inspired by the story of all these artists who sought to do something different in their day and didn't just follow the mold like everyone else. And again, when it comes to business, like, at the heart of it, you know, and maybe I should have started by saying this, we're all trying to do different businesses. I don't think there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, but I'm just saying, for me personally, what has worked for me and what I'm trying to build, these are the things and the core values that have really, really pushed us to that next level. So again, there are people who are also local talent in, you know, Philadelphia, because I'm based in Philadelphia. There's local talent here who they're just content with a certain level and they're content with that. That is their business model. That is their purpose. And that's beautiful. I love that for them. You know, like, I have friends who are like in certain brackets and that's amazing. But I always ask myself is, how can I build something that's going to outlive me? I'm inspired by great brands and great houses of like designers, people who have built things that are bigger than themselves. And those things have had longevity. Those things have been able to last and give them financial freedom. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for financial freedom. I'm looking to build a beautiful life that is beyond wedding photography. Because when I'm 60 years old, as much as I love it, I want to be the grandpa who just brought his camera and happened to, you know, shoot a few shots. I don't want to be the 60-year-old who has to then do weddings to pay for his bills. Like, at that point, my knees will probably not be working the same. My elbows will probably not be working the same. I won't be able to roll around the ground like I do right now. You know, so it's like, I'm thinking about me then.
You'll be rolling on the wheelchair instead.
I'll be making donuts with my wheelchair. I'm going to be a cool grandpa. I'm just going to say that.
I think that ties so well into the first point about, I just want to highlight the point of essentially, like, instead of going to New York and doing a styled shoot workshop, which can still be so valuable, so fun, there's so much that else, there's other value in that. But if you do not have the money to put into that, Do not tempt yourself by thinking, well, you know, if I do spend $6,000 to do this elaborate shoot in New York, everything's taken care of for me, then that means I'll be able to, there's no guarantee that you will make the money back on it. So if you are just starting out, this is when you are starting out in your business or you have taken it full time and the finances are limited. Instead of falling into temptation of, okay, you know what, if I just invest in this set, in the shoot, when I do not have the finance, it's one thing if you do have it, right? And that's a whole different conversation. But instead, you don't need to go to New York to make beautiful images. Wherever you are at, with the creativity that you do have as an artist, work with younger designers, planners, and even younger in terms of just in their career. They're still very green.
Yes.
Everybody's kind of at the same level, right? Everybody's working at this same level of we're all like entry, we're all beginning, whatever it might be. You don't have to skip to these $6,000 shoots that are so gorgeous, so elaborate. You don't Absolutely. Have to spend that money to create beautiful images when you're just starting out. And you know what also is the benefit is in your town, like for example, I live in Seattle. If you plan a shoot in Seattle, you're building your network here. And that's even more, like, that's even so much more valuable. But really think about, truly get realistic about the value that you would still be able to bring to your business if you stayed local and instead put that money into paying off your student loans. Instead, put that money, maybe you do need to bring on this year a virtual assistant to do your inbox management, or you're going to bring on somebody and that $6,000 could go for a whole year of, you know, a copyright, whatever. It could go to something else. It's very easy to get distracted by like the shiny things. And also too, we don't know how people advertise, like when it comes to, they're just advertising, they're just doing a good job marketing, right? Like the point is to be able to sell this incredible photo shoot, but you have to look beyond just like the advertisement, you know what I mean? So just thinking about really being realistic with your money. I mean, the same thing is when it comes to technology. I'm always talking about how there's always going to be a new camera out there. There's always going to be the Canon R5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And you do not have to have the latest and greatest equipment to be able to create beautiful images. And so it pulls into this idea of you don't have to spend thousands of dollars that you don't have in a program or on a shoot to be able to create beautiful images. There's a time and place for that.
Okay, here's what I think, right? I think a very big part of this is following balance, intuition, and also clarity of purpose. You have to know what your business is all about. So I'm not going to sit here and say, don't do. And again, you have to, you know, like what we're trying to say is we're not shutting down mentorship programs, shutting down retreats, shutting down, you know, style shoots. We're not saying these things are bad. We're just saying that before you go for the fluff, make sure the foundation is intact, right? It's like a dress. Before you make the garment elaborate and beautiful, make sure that the foundation of the, you know, like the core part of the dress is intact. Because if not, you're just going to focus on all the, you know, externalities and not really pay attention to the structure of how everything is built and how everything sits. I think, you know, and to give you a story, right? In order to get my first publication, I had to do a shoot with, you know, a certain magazine. I traveled to New Orleans. At that time, I used my life savings to go to New Orleans to get, you know, like to do the shoot. And then thankfully, it was how I landed my first publication. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying that there has to be balance. Also, look at what you have in your hands. What do you have in your hands? What is available to you? Like the story of Moses, you know, like if you really pay attention to that story, at the end of the day, what did he use to deliver the children of Israel? It was simply a staff. He didn't have elaborate engineering plans. He didn't know. And again, this is for those who are Christians. Like I mentioned, you know, in the pre-everything, like I am a very big Christian and I've really used a lot of principles, a lot of biblical principles to build what I have right now. So when you look at that, you know, it's basically when you look at that story, what he used was he used something that he already had. And when God appeared to him, God said, what do you have in your hands? And he had a staff. And that was what he used to change everything. So I think what I'm trying to say is don't ignore what you have. Don't ignore what lies within you. Like, of course, these things are good. And at some point, you're going to need to take risks, because it is true. Fortune favors the bold. You know what I mean? So that is true. At some point, you have to take certain risks. Like, if you think that doing that elaborate shoot in Italy will take your business to the next level and where it needs to be, and you feel in your intuition that that's what you should do, do it. But don't be pushed to do it. Don't think that without doing that, you won't be able to get to Italy. Because at the heart of it, we're storytellers. And if you can build a client and a fan base that loves you so much that they'll want to take you anywhere. And that's how, like, we have some international weddings coming up. Even my first international project. Like, of course, did I travel to Switzerland and that started getting opportunity? Yes, people realize, like, hey, I can travel. And that's, you know, another thing to keep in mind. Like, if you want to do more travel stuff, travel. You know, if you want to do more New York stuff, go to New York. You know, get a plane ticket to New York.
There's actually an episode you guys can listen to on 7 ways to start creating travel awareness. It's with Lucy Munoz. And she talks about how you don't even have to go to France and do this elaborate. You can start with, where are you going on your family vacation? Take images to create travel awareness. So that will be linked in the show notes, because exactly, Afrique.
You know, like, a big part of everything is, like, you have to think about it. It's like, what are those things that are essential to you? Don't be pressured. Don't think that, oh, if I don't do XYZ, I'm not going to get, you know, like XYZ. No, there are many different ways to get the things you want. Do you know what I mean?
So let's say, though, that you do go, you are creating beautiful images. What will happen, though, if you don't have the systems in place to be able to keep up with it all, there's no foundation there. So you have gorgeous images in Lake Como. But then once you have that clientele who wants to start working with you, who has the budget for these more elaborate sessions, it can easily go south very fast, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, I love all of this. I think, you know, like, again, big thing is, like, balance, following your intuition, you know, and also being mindful, you know, because it's like, don't try. Good things take time at the end of the day. You know, like, just because you go to Italy to do a photo shoot doesn't mean that would necessarily convert to, you know, like, more Italy clients. You know, like, I've had friends who've gone to Italy and done all of that. And it's just, you know, like, a lot of them, well, I would say 2 of my friends who did that, they just said it was a dud at the end of the day. It was not worth it for them.
It almost would be smarter to do your style shoot right here, like, in your town, in your city, investing maybe into a course about SEO. Because when you just are sharing the images on your homepage, right? Like, okay, I have this gorgeous photo in front of the Eiffel Tower. It's going to, you know, it's travel awareness. But if your website isn't optimized for SEO, then it's going to be so much harder to be able to reach people. And also, this is kind of in a similar vein, I guess. It's maybe is a little bit, like, out of left field, but there is a point when you actually don't need to invest in strategy anymore. You need to invest in something like Facebook ads that are going to generate more leads for you. So mentoring might not actually be what you need. It might be wiser to hire a Facebook ad manager than more strategy.
Exactly. Absolutely. No, and I completely agree with you. Like, I think there are mentorship programs that I had that I shouldn't have, and I don't want to say I shouldn't have done them, but the timing was not right. Like, I would have spent that X amount of dollars on, you know, a new website, because at this stage of my business, we're ready for, you know, a complete, like, we can spend XYZ more on, like, this, or I could have spent it on a conference, you know? And again, we learn, you know, like, we learn from different experiences. And at the end of the day, we, like, anybody who's taken time, you know, like, I know in my heart that while there are people who are scammers, like, I think people's intentions, a lot of times, I like to think the best of people. And I think there's people who go into mentorship programs thinking, like, hey, how do I create this? Or how do I serve? You know, like, how do I share what I have? So we're not saying that the idea of mentorship is bad. We're just saying that you have to think about, are you ready for certain things? You know, like, have you done the work? Are you, you know, in terms of your foundations, are you all set? And are you ready now for someone to, you know, quote unquote, take you to the next level? And then also when that person promises taking you to the next level, what does that look like? You know, like if someone says, hey, I'm going to help you make $1 billion, what is the strategy? Because if that person made $1 billion from selling laptops, their strategy will probably be telling you to sell laptops because that's the route they took. You know, and you can't teach someone what you haven't done. They can't teach you how to be a billionaire buying real estate in New York because they've never done that, you know? So anyway.
It's also that you can't say that you made $1 million when you've just made $1 million because you do coaching. Being also very wary of income claims on mentorship, mastermind mentorship, coaching. Whenever there's these income claims that I made X amount of money, it's usually because they've made $100,000 because they're a coach and they made it from their coaching program, not actually from their business.
Exactly.
This episode of the Build a Blue podcast is brought to you by a tool that's cut my photography workflow in half without cutting into half my software budget. Like most photographers, I use the blog feature on my website to upload galleries. Narrative is a software that you download onto your computer that cuts down the time it takes to build out blog posts from 1 hour to 10 minutes. Narrative works on almost all website platforms, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, WordPress, the list goes on. There are so many bonus features to Narrative, including a Lightroom plugin, SEO integration, adding text in the blog post, cropping within the program, which means no more back and forth with Lightroom. Oh, and it also uploads all your images as individual files, so it's not one big collage, meaning that it's Pinterest friendly. I know what you're thinking, this seems like a miracle, but how much does it cost? With Narrative, there are three package options starting at just $6 a month. And heads up, right now the program is only available for iOS, meaning Mac users. Go to jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool. You can also check out the description of this podcast episode, the show notes down below. I'll link it as well. That's jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool.
How can we become good stewards of the money that we do have?
I think at some point too, you have to, again, this heavily depends on where you're trying to go with things, right? Like if you think that getting a Soho membership in New York City will, you know, take your business to the next level, I think you really have to follow your intuition. And sometimes you have to spend the money where you didn't want to spend the money. Obviously, I'm not a financial coach, and I would say you need to be financially responsible. And Jessica has a lot of episodes on, you know, being financial. You know, you have a lot of great content on that. You know, even one of your podcasts that I was listening to, there was some great advice. But I will say that at the same time too, you can also take risk, but you have to be mindful of your capital. Do you have the capital in your business to take the risk you want to take? So for instance, if you know that, let's say in a month, you can get $100,000 and you are trying to pay for a membership or you're trying to go for a conference and the ticket to that conference is $10,000, but you could meet some really, really powerful people there or people who you feel would take you to the next level, I would spend that because A, sure, you've spent the $10,000 on from your credit card to pay for this, you know, conference. But then remember, you're also getting a certain amount of money, $100,000 or even $50,000. So you're going to be able to pay that credit card off. And then also, I will say this, I have paid for high ticketed items and high ticketed conferences, and sometimes they have paid for themselves. Like, for instance, I paid for a conference. I spent almost $7,000 on a conference last year. There were connections I made that made me actually three times more than what I spent.
How do you, though, position yourself to be able to be prepared, though, to network? Because I would almost be like, okay, I'm very shy and introverted. how, though, do you make sure you can get your money's worth? Because it's easy to be like, if I get a membership at Soho House for 300 or however much it is a month, that might be a good idea. But you need the networking skills, and you have to be able to work through like conversation skills. And like, are you somebody who's, are you going to be able to push yourself outside of your comfort zone to go to the events, to meet people, to go up and introduce yourself? So like for you at the conference, it was worth it because you were able to get your money back from it. But for others, it might seem like a good idea, right? Okay, I will be in the room with the right connections, but are you going to make the connections? Instead, maybe spend the time reading the books on like how to win friends and influence people, but go to your local networking events. Join Toastmasters, which is like a public speaking free club across America where you can learn to public speak, but then also that helps you develop conversation skills. Almost like before you jump the gun, again, it's like before you jump the gun on going to Italy and doing this shoot, focus within your local network. But before also you go to the $6,000 conference, make sure you have the confidence to be able to make the connection.
Absolutely. And that makes total sense. It's like, you don't, if you've not gone to like, if you're not part of your local member chambers of commerce, like there's so many local things. Like before I went to like a $15,000 conference, like I was able to go to my local conferences in my city. I developed the skills of talking to people, meeting people, you know, and I realized that was something that would work for me long term. So I definitely agree with you. I think that start from where you are. I mean, I think this whole podcast is coming to like, start from within, search from within, you know, develop your internal abilities and
like take a beat.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's like focus on yourself, focus on being your best self, on creating your greatest work. And then in addition to that, start with what you have, what is around you, you know, and then from that, slowly you would build and build and build.
I also think too, for you, since you grew up in the church and were very involved in it, that's where also you can develop people skills and dealing with different types of personalities.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by Contractista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. Contractista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts. And protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts.
And I think the biggest misconception is how long these things take to happen. Any coach that promises you a very definite amount of time and they say, oh, in 1 month, you're going to be able to do this. I think I understand where the coach or that person is coming from when they say, oh, you're going to do this in 1 month. But I'm not going to lie, Jessica, it took me 10 years to get to where I am right now. And there's something about when you're seasoned and cultured and like you've gone through the path, you've gone through the route, because I'm a very big believer in easy come, easy go. Now, like, my business is not dependent on one planner. My business is not dependent on one thing, because that's the thing, right? It's like, if you build everything off one person and then this person decides to, like, for instance, what if there was just one planner you knew and this one planner made your career and now like you mainly work for this one planner? What if they decide that they don't want to send you any more business? That means your well is dried up. And for me, I always thought about that. It's how do you create something that's, you know, that's not dependent on like people or on gatekeepers. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there's this illusion of like, if you go to the gatekeepers and you beg them for jobs, they will give you jobs and you have to focus on the gatekeepers. I get all of that. But I think that there's a stronger way and an opportunity missed in building a business that serves people, a storytelling business that cares and is compassionate about the people that you serve. Because that's the thing, word, you know, like the word will go around. Like a lot of my couples, I try to build a personal relationship because I know they have friends and their friends have friends and certain circles. And it's not like, oh, I got here because this planner knew me and this planner said this. Of course, am I grateful to the planners who have sent me business and helped me? I'm very, very grateful to them. But at the same time, a lot of these planners we've worked with, they know we bring 1,001%. We pour our energy, our soul, and our heart into everything that we do, and we show up for them. Not just for their client, we also show up for these planners. So they know these things. And also, you know, like if you read the reviews, if you talk to some of my old couples, they will tell you the same thing of who I am, consistent with who I am and how we serve. Our team is very consistent. And I think these things are very important because that's how you build something that is going to last the test of time. Because if I just showed you, I'm like, okay, Jessica, here's what you need to do to build your $10,000 business. Reach out to all these planners because then they can give you business that's worth $10,000. And then yes, you do it. And next year you have five $10,000 clients. Really great. But then again, you haven't gone through the process of what it means to deliver a gallery on time, or you haven't, there's certain difficulties you haven't faced. There's certain challenges that at each level you need to face that you might've missed out on. And again, if it happens overnight, that's great. Like, kudos to you. Like, I support that. Like, if you can be an overnight success, I am all for that. I love you. I support you. I'm cheering you on. But some of us were not overnight successes. You know, like, it took a long time. Exactly. And you have to be patient. You have to water the tree. It's like when you have a farm, the farm doesn't, you know, like if you plant corn, the corn doesn't come out the next day. Like, you have to water it. And I think there needs to be transparency with coaching programs of telling people like, hey, when you come here, like, A, the intention is for us to connect, is for us to learn from each other, is for us to also have a moment of being creative. But then also the things you learn, you might not be able to apply them tomorrow. You might, like, there are things I learned 5 years ago that I'm just now applying it. You know what I mean? So it's like, there needs to be that communication and this get rich fast, you know, scheme. Like, for me, it's never worked. And I've asked a lot of my friends and none of them have said it's worked. So, hey, if someone knows a get fast scheme that works and takes, you know, like, and I'm all ears, like, please send me a DM. I would love to, you know about this get rich quick scheme. All in due time. You know, be patient with yourself. You're doing incredible. The fact that you're listening to this podcast means that you want to grow. You want to take things to the next level. Everything in due time. Good things take time. And, you know, Jessica believes in you. The universe believes in you. God believes in you. We all believe in you. You can do great things because the desire that you have, you know, like there's a reason why that desire came to you. You know, like my mentor once told me, it's like, no impossible dream comes into this world. If the dream comes to you, if the seed of the dream comes to you, that means the possibility lies within you to make that dream come true. Just be patient, patient. That's the one thing for creatives. It's like, be patient, you know?
Use patience, wisdom, and map out a plan of action. And even in the world of, like, you know, tech, where we're advertised constantly, you have to have the latest and greatest of equipment or computer or whatever in order to equal success. That's not true. And the same thing, we can fall into the same idea with planning our business. And like, if I can just quit my job as a receptionist and just go into photography and have all the time in the world to spend in photography, then I'll be able to be successful. That's not necessarily true. I mean, yes, it means that you'll have more time to dedicate to the business, but if you're not, you know, making the most of what you have right now, then, or Okay, I don't even know where I'm going with that. But the same can fall into situations, our own like life circumstances of, okay, if only I can just quit right now and just jump straight in, that's not always a good idea, right? So you just have to use patience. It's really hard, but it might even be worth it to consider maybe like pulling back from social media usage, where we're constantly being fed these advertisements about new equipment, these reviews on this new gear. Okay, well, if this review says it's good and it's going to change everything for me and I know I'll be able to get my use out of it, but I'm going to go into credit card debt over it. Maybe it might be worth setting some boundaries with social media consumption, because that's where a lot of like our consumerism is coming from. And being a consumer isn't a bad thing, but we have to be a conscious consumer. And that also bleeds into our own circumstances with life, not just the material things.
I like that. And I think it's like, you know, don't idolize people, you know, don't see this person and think like, oh, you know, like I want to be like this person. No, like, who are you? What are you bringing to this world? What is your business bringing to this world? What are you doing? What is your USP, your unique selling point? You know, and I think we have to really, really dig and really be clear about these things, rather than just looking at these people who present a certain level of reality. And I'll tell you this, right? There are a lot of trips that there's some trips that I took last year. And if someone looked at my Instagram, they say, oh my God, Afriq, you're living the life. And I've actually had people reach out to me and say like, oh, you're living my dream. Like when I went to Switzerland, but like nobody knew that in Switzerland, it was one of the loneliest I had ever been in almost about 10 years. I felt so lonely, and I'm not going to go into that, but it's like, it was a very difficult emotional trip for me. Of course, did it look beautiful? Yeah, it did look beautiful. I made it look beautiful. But there's a reality that a lot of people are not sharing, that it's like, you have to be
they don't share.
Exactly. Yeah,
but you have to be mindful.
Exactly. Be mindful that like, not all that glitters is gold, and everything that you see isn't necessarily as it is. You know, so like even some of my trips to like Italy, like it was difficult. It was very difficult. Like when I went to Italy for 48 hours, I didn't sleep for like multiple days and I was tired. I was, you know, feeling burnt, you know, like that weekend I had to show up for a wedding and it was a high level wedding. And I was internally feeling very tired and it was a very difficult situation. So it's not as glamorous. And, you know, don't idolize anyone. Don't idolize anyone's life. Build something beautiful for yourself, a life that you love to live, a life that you can show up for. Build a business and a following, an audience that loves you. Think about your audience. Don't think about, I want to be like this person or be like this person. No. What is the solution you're providing? What are the problems? Even if you have 100 followers, that's 100 people who are listening and paying attention to you. What solution, what problems do these 100 people have? And how can you provide a solution to these people? How can you answer any questions they have? Like, these are key business things that sometimes seem to evade us, but we need to be mindful of. You know, it's like, it's not about shooting pretty things. It's about telling stories. Of course, we shoot pretty things, but it's like, tell stories. Like, what are the problems people face? Like, people are lonely. People feel insecure about their bodies. People don't feel comfortable how they look. That's a problem you can solve. And Jessica, that's a great problem that you're solving, because it's like, you know, I've been in a situation where you've photographed me, and the way you've made me feel, the way you've cheered me on, it's like, you made me want to come out of my shell. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're actually providing a solution to a problem. So this is just, that's where my heart is. And you know, I'm very, very passionate about this specific topic.
It's such a sigh of relief for a lot of people who are listening, who are like, okay, you know what? Yes, I saw this advertisement. We're just using Lake Como, I guess, as the hotspot here. But I saw the advertisement for Como and I wanted to do it. And I was about to pull out the credit card. And you know what? This is the reminder that I need to take a beat and I should start where I'm at and what that actually looks like. Because it's easy to say, just start where you're at. Start in your town, join the networking groups here before you go to the conference. So that when you go to the conferences, you are prepared to get as much out of it, every dollar you will be able to get out of it. This is just going to bring so many people reassurance and peace, and also just helping stay in a more financially better place, you know.
Absolutely.
You don't want to invest all into one thing. I mean, even the episode that you were telling me you listened to with Amanda Holden, Investing Basics for Photographers or something. It's only a couple episodes back. Listen to that, because that's going to help you guys out so much as well in terms of, okay, yes, I shouldn't invest everything into my business like they're saying, but what does that actually look like? What's the next step? What do I put my money into? That episode will have some great answers for you. But I love this because it's just a really refreshing perspective, Afri. Thank you for putting so much wisdom and preparation into it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love you. I am so honored that you're, you know, talking to me and that you brought me on your podcast. I love everything you do. I love your community. Thank you. I told you before the call, just keep doing what you're doing, because you never know, like, you are making such an impact that you will never be able to know the full extent of what you've actually done till either much later in life or in the afterlife, because you never know who's listening. You never know who's, you know, taking notes and who's, you know, in a place where they need you to like provide all this value and all this content. And you've just kept doing you all these years. So thank you. Thank you so much. I feel very honored. And yeah.
You're so amazing. Thank you. Where can everybody find you?
Absolutely. So I'm on Instagram. My name, Afri Carmando, at Afri Carmando. I started posting on TikTok. I'm going to be posting a lot of more behind the scenes and a lot of the process and the not so polished version as on Instagram. But my name on Instagram, on TikTok, is actually a freak freak. So it's like, you know, freak, like F-R-E-A-K. So it's like a freak freak. So like a freak freak. And friends, believe in yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't idolize anybody. Don't think that anyone's better than you. Like, you carry so much. I don't know if you know this, but like, I've said this a million times, from the creation of time, there's never been a you. Right now, there's no one like you, and there will never be anyone else like you. So don't underestimate your power, and don't give your power to other people. Like, stand your ground, believe in your dreams, search deep within you, because you are loaded with so many goodies and you're about to birth them.
You're about to birth them. So you better go book yourself an OBGYN appointment, because it's almost time.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Thank this you. Is so amazing, Afri. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. You're amazing.
I love Afrique so much. I hope that this episode was a sigh of relief for you. Pop on over to Instagram and give Afrique a follow. I'll also have his information linked in the description of this episode. We talked about the Build and Bloom group in this episode, and if you're not a member, it is my best free community resource. It's kind, inclusive, and encouraging, totally free to join on Facebook. Just search Build and Bloom. I believe in you, and I believe in your business. Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whittaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhittaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.